Mr. Perlstein, I know that you have a long and terrible story, but we've agreed in the pressure of time that you will give us a short synopsis of it. Please.
Yes, sir. First of all, in the place I'm standing here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not standing alone. With me are standing many, many of my people, my brothers and sisters, who vanished and perished in the psychiatric system in Israel. I am born to two remnants of Israel, two survivors of Holocaust, came after World War II to the new state of Israel, simple people, good people, working people, decent people, to work and to earn their money and to build somehow a new life. Love there was not at home, not acceptance, not delicate. It was only the atmosphere of the German era, you know, the Soviet concentration lagers, and so we were not also a little family, no Weiden family around because of the Holocaust. I grew up in sadness, I grew up in fear, I grew up in a place that could not be listening to me and not to have any pedagogical possibilities to deal with me. And I was from the beginning a very delicate, tender boy, loving very much book, loving very much to poetry and history and so on. It was seen that I'm going to make something great in humanities. Grown up also in a society, a harsh society, wherever Israel needs soldiers, Israel needs brave men to fight and tough people to earn the daily living and to make somehow the possibility to earn the money by hard labor, it was seen as by me and by many other people like me, who I saw them later dying in front of me, that they are too frail, they are too weak, and they are too delicate. So it was from the beginning an atmosphere of jeering and sneering and a disevaluation of our qualities and of our dreams. When I was released from army, and I was released honor, not playing, not making any sort of joke, of trying to disbehave against the morals, when I was released honorably from the military service, I went to the university, but then my grandfather died, and the little home, which was not love toward me and toward among the parents, I dredged into a depression, and I free willingly, in the middle of the Yom Kippur War, when my best friend died as a soldier in Ramat HaGolan, in the Golan Heights, I went free willingly to a hospital, got in drugs, and after that the doctor said, then of course I know the names and so on, they say to my parents, he become mad because of the books, because he read so much, no more learning, no more studying, no more university, go to work. And there a new career opened as a little clerk under the wings of my father in other places, always suffering from the harshness, from the roughness, from the brutality, from the difficult daily people of no poetical qualities, no political approach to the world. The time passed, the parents became more and more old, they were very much in stress because of me, because the doctors, all of those years, told them that I'm not capable to run a home, that I shall not be capable to conduct a family life or any proper decent life, any responsibility for daily missions. They put me in some situation that is what I cannot imagine myself, what they said. The sadness and the fear and the shame of my parents broke out in a very difficult story when my father, out of his distress, found another woman. The little home, the little tiny home, the settled home, broke in a horrible family violence that my parents within lost the human face, beginning to beat each other, to cry each other. I am trying to separate, going to the psychiatrist, and they are laughing at me. Finally, after 10 years, while a frail soul is trying, has such a horrible, including, of course, the very horrible scene by my father toward my mother, my father perished. I remained with my mother alone. Now I thought that the hell is away and I shall go back and conduct a life. The authorities then began to came into home, not polite, rough talking, laughing, and with all this, the neighbors around, and they tell us that we are ill people, that my mother should go to a hospital and I should take into to a storage of psychiatric chronic people, and the department should be taken from me in order to hold me. My mother became crying on the streets. Also a cancer went out, and the doctor accused me for not treating her. I told them, listen, we are too now old, we are tired, we are exhausted, we cannot, in order to treat, she has to have a cook, she has to have the busing, and I tried to, with toughness, sorry to say, but I'm admitted, with strong hand I had to hold her, to keep her in the rest a sense of human dignity. So we beg that a personality will come, a moral personality, some of the Knesset members who were survivors of Holocaust, will give us the mercy, will give us the courtesy, and the doctors came in also only seeking whom the department, who is the department, why are you crying, why not go to the, why didn't you marry, why don't you work? I try to tell them, but they want nothing to know. Two times I was hijacked, I was kidnapped, when they crashed inside the home, and my mother, of course, was weeping, and nobody could have wanted to hear me, to hear her, and everything I have it in the papers or from the hospital here. Two times they come into a place of an orphan and a widow, and you know what the Jewish scriptures are telling to the, how to honor the widow and the orphan. We come in, crash the door with chains, with guns. They took me, as a dog. They pushed me out. They pulled me out. They brought me to hospital two times with gun to the neck and gun to the rocking. Yeah, they forced me to. I was bleeding and shitting without my glasses, nothing. I was forced to sign free willingly that I'm accepting any treatment. Of course, the first time my mother came back, she running on the street and all the neighborhood knowing me from only 40 years in the same neighboring, the people become mercy. I was released one time. The second time, I was held in a whole month. Two times it was hunger. I suffered hunger. They threw me from one sanitar to another. And it was horrible condition where people were giving high tough drugs. And I also in my life got 50,000 about 50,000 pills of some 20-80 sort of medication that I can hear say the names. After 30 years, it became evident that I'm by chance, by accident, I'm not schizophrenic. With 30 years of my life in the state of Israel, where she took commitment about the Holocaust, about the survivors, and took money from Germany to hold this commitment, it was a mistake. All life was a mistake. I was given after that in that hospital a record that I am borderline. And I have here, ladies and gentlemen, the whole world book about 8 parameters about borderline, about 5 of whom in very clear Hebrew. And this is the academic press. 5 parameters have to be found clearly according to their word in simple Hebrew, and I'm sure that I have none of all 8 of them. Two times I was tortured. I was sneered. I was taken with no shoes. Of course, I told them, they told me, why don't you have shoes? I said to them, I have no family. So they're laughing at me in a Barbanel. That's your problem. I got pains from the cold. Not sleeping. One side, the people got medication. From the other side, the MTV, the television by cables, from 6 o'clock in the morning at 10, 11 o'clock at night, MTV full-time job. No, the smell, urine, smell of sweat, smell of cigarettes. When I was taken to the head of Abarbanel, I just discovered another world that the toilets were with perfume papers. And so, and it was something, no budget. 50 meters from where I was in a hell, in a completely hell, where people, two people, in room for two people, six people were dropped in, and the staff was encouraging them to fight in order to put them all together closed in the closed room, yes? And there was not enough money to Israel to... For 100 meters there was another world, a paradise. I was in a real hell. Suddenly, I was released and said that I have to come to enforced Bemerkung, yeah? Enforced... how to say Bemerkung? Bemerkung. How to say? To inspection, enforced Bemerkung. This, meanwhile, my mother died in Abarbanel. They didn't let me even to go to see her. By chance, I found a man. I paid him much money, according to my mother's wish. He took me to Abarbanel, so she has throughout this man paid the right to see two times her son as she saw me, and I have an audio cassette, 20 minutes, with her voice in Yiddish weeping to the old people that someone should take care about me in Israel because I'm living alone. And I've also picked photos, as they told the hospital, the Ministry of Health told the old world that I'm beating my mother and avoiding treatment, and that was not true. That is horrible. That is a sadistic approach to our great tragedy. After that, when I was released for some hours from that house of death, I know I have paper that I have should be sent to all of my life to a chronic hospital. Therefore, no family around, with some very frail friends, who have all of them daily Israelis, who have no power, have no influence about nothing, the poor people in my neighborhood. I got an idea, I phoned trembling to the German embassy, Tel Aviv. And I asked the mercy of the German people. I, Yosef Wolf Perlstein, bearing the whole name of my grandfather, perished in Warsaw in winter 40. I asked the mercy of the German people. I have already told them I want to be alive. Only someone to intervene for me. One of their people come to Beit Yam, saw me in a horrible condition, physical horrible condition, but she decided immediately that I'm not mad. After some hours, she told me that the German ambassador in Tel Aviv is giving me the protectorate of the Bundesregierung Deutschland, and therefore I went back to Abarbanel, my dear colleagues and friends, and told them I have an aunt, a new auntie, so there is one to take care about me. Within some days, it disappears like mouse in the holes, and I began somehow a new life under the good wish of this great, noble government of Germany, while this day, for the memory of my mother, for the memory of my father, for the memory of the people I met in the psychiatric hospitals. Really, they were not strong. They were not mighty. They couldn't be great soldiers or great generals or great officers. Not even great people of academy. But most of them were good people. Most of them were good people. And they could find their place in society. Now again, I'm writing poetry in the paper of the House of Death of Abarbanel, and this, of course, after 30 years, all the time I was dishonored by Israel. There's a paper that I told them I'm writing some poetry, so they write here, I am a grandomaniac because I'm thinking about me, quotation, a skillful writer. That was never true. But now I'm writing poetry. The poetry is translated to German. It's good to appear as a book of poems. The last month I write a poetry about Elegie, about the Dolphinarium night in Jaffa, to tell you that I'm loving of my people, very loving of my neighbors. I'm very one of the people really, really wanted to be something good for Israel. I just denied because of idiotism and salvatism and evil. And also I'm collecting junk from the street, junk and all the matter lost, nobody is looking at it, things people throw away. This is, of course, my brothers and sisters, combine them, melt them, adhesive them, and make my modern sculptures about two expositions have already opened near Köln and near Düsseldorf in the last years in Germany. And I'm beginning somehow a new life upon Aufsteig über die Ruinen, a new life upon my all was destroyed and was destroyed unnecessarily and was destroyed that many other people. I saw them dying. I saw, and even those who didn't die, and we were poisoned to death or living somehow with $400 a month for national security, and the government of Israel tells them that they are exploiting Israel, and because of them Israel is so poor. Yes, because of us, those people, I met them, I'm trying to help them, they're trying to help me. I am the witness, not of myself, ladies and gentlemen. I'm witness of Oan, and I am sorry for my brothers and sisters from Israel, but the truth must be said. I am a patriot. I am a real patriot as much as I can. The question is if Israel is a patriot to me, if Israel is loyal to me, and I am very sorry to tell you that not. And still this is my place, and still I am going back there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And from the memory of my parents who died so, so horrible, after such a horrible life came a horrible death. It's a cry to heaven, it's a cry to the sky, and I hear a candle for their memory and for my third generation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Stay, please.
No. Please no. I'm only the ambassador of the dead and the mad, sir, yes? Don't applaud me. I'm nothing here.
Questions from the jury?
Yes, one more. After 30 years, I'm not schizophrenic. I'm just I'm suffering high blood pressure, alone, afraid every day in Israel is a fear because Israel doesn't admit its crimes. Israel just send me my friend, the doctor there, they officially they don't know, they don't recognize that a foreign element, a foreign organ is in my, came to rescue me. Now, outside they tell me, let him go to the German, the choleras, and let him vanish among them. Sorry to tell you.
Mr. Perlstein.
Yes.
I'm speaking. Hello?
Yes.
Over here.
Where?
Here.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much for your very eloquent statement. I would know, and thank you for telling a story of a psychiatry in Israel that you would not read in the American papers. I wonder what it is that the average Israeli learns in the newspapers and magazines and from medical societies about the state of psychiatry in Israel. What is the average person who is not involved in the field?
Again, sir, I'm removed because I'm standing for such a high... Again, please. The essence of your question.
Can you repeat the question?
Repeat, please,
What does the average person who is not involved as a psychiatrist,
yes,
or as a patient think about psychiatry in Israel?
I shall tell you, sir, briefly. First of all, I don't know what is the average Israeli because we are such a complicated society. Until the recent times, sir, it was an atmosphere anti all the crazy people who are also the rapers and all the bad. But you must understand that Israel is suffering the last years many traumas of the blasting and, you know, of the terror attacks. So every day, I'm sorry to tell you, every day our family get more and more dozens of people. So when the Israeli, until the recent years, the madmen were something remote that nobody really knew. Now so many people and family come to the hospitals. Now I think in Israel, I'm sorry to tell you, I do not want to thank the jihad and the Hezbollah for this, because I'm not their friend either. But now I think that because of so many tragedies, the people began to understand that we are also people. And I think that in my neighborhood, I know that before 10 years, I was considered intelligent, mad, and there was like this, yes. Now people are open the heart, especially because I tell them, listen, I have nothing against you people. You are working, you are going to the offices, to your factories. I have nothing to you. Now they understand me more, because more and more, and when the skin of someone is burning, so I understand that the skin of the other, and therefore I'm a little bit accepted more. Of course, I would like to be accepted if I would be a professor in university, but I shall not be anymore, yes?
Let me rephrase the question. Just answer it very briefly. I mean, do people think of psychiatry that they are doctors, like heart doctors?
Yes, of what? More than that. Okay. The psychiatrists are not only the doctors. The psychiatrists are the interpretation of the truth, of what should be correct, of what should be reasonable. Okay. Another more, please, Professor Zatwan. I had, before 20 years, met occasionally a psychiatrist in Israel, born Netherlands, my brother, the greatest, Dr. Roland Bastians. When he met me, a European gentleman, he went out in the corridors and crying, Yossi, you are not mad. So they told him, listen, you said Yossi not mad, you yourself are mad, yes? So about half a year with a great psychiatrist, with his father, the late Professor Jan Bastians, was the helper of the people coming out of the concentration camp. Half a year I was flourishing. Now we are back again, and now he went to the press with about me and sacrificed very much, and I have some moment of distress that I have, because I'm alone, no family with the hard news. I'm going to him, a psychiatrist, a head of department in Beersheba, and resting by him for some days.
Thank you.
Professor Nair.
You know, all questions are to such a moving testimony are risky, of course. But couldn't it be that all what you said is a long-lasting effect of the Nazi Holocaust and not specificities of the Israelis, the psychiatry in Israel?
No, sir.
Yeah, and how would you qualify either the continuity of,
sir,
the psychiatry or its specificity?
Sir, I tell you very frankly, on the Berlin soil, yes, and you know where we are. I myself personally suffer till now from the Germans, because my parents were always at night, and my father wake up 2 or 3 o'clock. When I'm sleeping, and I'm born in 53, I'm hearing the boots from time to time, and the word Achtung und schnell. Oh, because this is how my parents speak, yes? But I tell you one thing, you cannot blame all the time Germany. Of course, it is not a matter of love to Germany, but it is something that it was not, it was, Israel didn't want to recognize those people. Israel was shaming those people because they were frail. You understand me? And that we cannot go on and be, because I feel that Germany gave so much money, so much facilities to Israel, that the time to tell my people, my doctors who were treating me all over the, and not me, and not all the Holocaust people, because there were treated people that their family were died in the terror attacks, or soldiers also, of people who came from the Asia and Africa lands, and they were also the crush of to manage somehow. So I think that the Israel, by not wanting to know, because if anybody would understand, like this great gentleman, the righteous of Sodom, that these people are not mad, that there is something profound in the matter of these people, that if I'm weak, then maybe I can be a poet, maybe I can be a teacher, as an officer in the army told my mother, listen, he's too much good for us, he's too much deli- delicate. We do not need such thing, such people. Why not to need? And if they punish me so they made something good with it, I think it is something of stupidity. I think something of just neglecting people, of not considering people who otherwise wouldn't sit here in Berlin and so be rude to you, ladies and gentlemen, but be prepared the lessons at some high school in history, as I love too much. And not to say that because he's loving to read history and poetry, this is the first sign to a madness. It isn't.
Of course, the great
a nation is not only soldiers. A nation is also teachers. A nation is also people of a bibliothek. A nation is also archivars.
Yes, please.
Thank you. I'm Esther Herzog, and I'm also from Israel. And I'm sorry that things that you were saying are quite true, and I would have to say that they're even worse. Well, I think that psychiatry in Israel and the psychological system, not only the psychiatry system.
Or the social working.
And social work as well, yeah, right.
The hunting dog
of the jury.
What's that?
I'm sorry, I just was introducing you for our audience in the internet.
Okay. Well, they are part of what I call the welfare bureaucracy in Israel, and they are the very, very strong basis of the political system. So they are using their enormous powers in order to do lots of awful things, evil things, such as taking away children from the parents, saying that the parents are harming them, putting them into institutions for children. And things are in these institutions are very bad, even though they are not psychiatric institutions. But the psychiatrists are part of this game because they are allowing the process of taking away the children even farther from the parents and the families. So if they make any problems and they are not cooperating, they would put them in the psychiatric institutions to prevent any more intervention of the families.
Sorry to kill them.
Excuse me?
Sorry to kill them, to eliminate them.
Well, they don't want to kill them. I don't think that's the problem. I think that they have their own interests, other interests, because, I mean, this is a way to supply a lot of jobs to the political supporters of the governments, all governments, right and left. There's no real
To the robots, to the very rough people, who this is the only way to make some money, yes?
So we did have some psychiatric treatment in the 50s over the Yemenite babies that were taken away from the families. That was in the 50s. So we do think, and we do have some evidence, that the babies were treated and they were taken for...
kidnapped for selling.
Selling was part of it, and also for...
because they were black, so everything was allowed to the black. We have all our own black, yes?
We know that many of the remnants from the Holocaust that came to Israel were put into psychiatric hospitals, many, many of them that could have been integrated in the social life of Israel. But they were put there away for many years, actually, until they died, most of them.
I saw them in Akko.
In Akko,
the state of Israel took, for such people, Israel took much money, and only the last time a committee was set up that found by Jacob Bazak, the judges, but that nothing wrong was done by the state of Israel toward those people. I saw them die in Geha, and one of my work is about them. I am eternally one of those people.
So they used to say that they had psychiatric problems and they have to be treated for their own good. Of course, that was not true because these people were just neglected or forgotten by society. And the point is that their money, their compensations from Germany, were taken away by the state. and were not transferred to their own hands for their own benefit.
Not to the state, to the private villas of the high bureaucracy in Israel. Herzliya, Pituach, and so on. I know what I am talking. We are from the same hole, excuse me.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Are there other questions? I assume that the irony has not escaped anyone that Mr. Perlstein's particular salvation, a Holocaust victim, came from the German embassy. There is, I think, something in that portion of the story worth noting in addition to everything else.
Not only saved physically, but given all my life back and the possibility to create, to find a new meaning, a new love, a new friendship, and a new delicate, a new tenderness, which I share it with you, the German people, and every good man all over the world, including Israel, because I'm coming also from a place that there are very good people also there, yes? The daily people, most of them are very good people.
But the point that I think is relevant to us in all of this is the point made many times that this is a power game, not a science game. And what got Mr. Perlstein out was whatever that motivated the German government or the German ambassador to intervene, but the fact that someone intervened with power. And in the absence of that, we might not have a witness with us today.
Unmarked grave, sir. Unmarked grave.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I am going to call another...
Honor my family. Thank
you. I'm going to call a witness now, and I would appreciate your cooperation. The witness does not want...